At this time, I would like to have a video played in honor of this weekend.
Today we bow our heads. It's not an easy day, because today we remember. We focus our memory on those who served our great nation. Today we set aside our differences and remember those who gave their lives for freedom. We remember the brothers and sisters who fought on our behalf while their brothers and sisters prayed for their safe return. We remember the sons and daughters who carried the flag of democracy while their parents placed flags on their lapels and front porches. We remember the dads and moms who stood watch at the door of war while their children stood watch at home. We remember the husbands and wives who carried the weight of war while their spouses carried the burden of an empty seat at the dinner table. Each one our brother, each one our sister, each one our son, each one our daughter. We remember their honor, sacrifice, and courage. We remember that they paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Today we kneel and remember. With compassion and love, we turn our memory to the lives of those who served on our behalf. We honor those who've fallen in service. And we remember the words of Jesus. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down their life for their friends. John 15:13.
At this time, I would like to ask if you'd be so willing for all those who have served and those who are currently serving to please stand so that we may honor and recognize you and the service that you've done for our country. And we'd like to pass out just a small little memento, a token of our gratitude for what you've done. And I know words will never be enough to be able to express our thanks, but we're here in this place today for what you've done. And so with that, I just want to say thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much. And sometimes words cannot be enough. Lord, we thank you so much for young men and women who have made the sacrifice to give us the opportunity to be here where we are in this place, worshiping freely without the fear of persecution. And Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for making the sacrifice. And even then, words will not be enough. And even in heaven, we won't know what more to say other than to cast our crowns at your feet and to proclaim, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And Jesus, I just want to give you all the glory today. And I ask that you would forgive us of our sins and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness as you've promised. If there is anything between us and you, Lord, we ask that you would remove it. Thank you. We pray that the Father, you would be glorified, Jesus, you would be lifted up, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us and guide us into truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Memorial Day. And God has a Memorial Day, right? The Sabbath. It doesn't come around just once a year, but weekly, in fact. And it's a beautiful opportunity, a gift, really. And I think sometimes that it's taken for granted, maybe because it becomes monotonous, maybe because we come each week to church and it's a time of reflection and to see how God has worked within our lives. And I just want to share a little moment how God worked in my life this week. I've told the youth a couple stories, but this week I had two things happen to me. I'll start with the first one. I had a cyst removed out of my face, and so it was growing there, and it was time for it to come out. And so I went to the dermatologist, and I just want to praise God that there was nothing wrong with it, and that we got it removed, and it was probably the best, the funniest dermatology visit ever. It was my first and only, and it was just great. I was sitting there on the table, and he was like, oh, look, you're giving it a C-section. I'm like, yes, I can finally sympathize with the day when you probably have a kid. Not really, but they just squeezed it out, and it just floundered on out. And for those of you who don't like that mental image, I apologize. But it was so much fun. The people were great, and they took it out completely and nothing missing, so I don't have to worry about regrowth. Second thing was, I went to Red Robin on Sunday. And, you know, the Sabbath is good for reflection. And sometimes God gives you a little reflection sooner than Sabbath. I went to Red Robin, and I was sitting there. We got a coupon for buy one, get one 50% off. I'm like, yes! Less to pay for a meal. And so I go out there with Ava, and we're sitting there with our friends, and we're eating, chopping it up, enjoying the food and the fellowship, and then we get our bill, and then we give them our rewards card, and she goes, and she comes back, she says, well, unfortunately, with the sandwich you got, this reward isn't good. I'm like, are you serious? You're kidding me. And she's like, well, you know, we didn't charge you for some of these things. And so I guess you could say you came out just the same. And I'm like, ooh. And inside I was just turning, but say, okay, thanks. She left, and in my immaturity, I just sit there and I said, you know what I call that? I call that no tip. That's what I call that. And I was just feeling kind of upset about it because I wanted that 50% off. And so I ended up leaving a tip, don't you worry. I left one begrudgingly, and then I went home, and I was telling Ava, I was like, there's just something wrong with this world right now. You know, in Australia, people make more than minimum wage, and you don't have to tip them. But here, they make their living off of tips. And the next morning, I woke up, and I got an email from a letter that I subscribed to, which is Dave Ramsey, and the title of that morning subscription was, Are You a Bad Tipper? And I said, yes, Lord, I am a horrible tipper. And I was telling the Sabbath School class this morning that it was almost like God was asking me the question like he did in the garden when he asked Adam, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to admit where he was. And so God had to ask me, are you a bad tipper? Knowing the answer, I said, yes, Lord, I'm a horrible tipper. And the lesson that I learned from that, in reflecting on that, is to give generously, to live generously. And it wasn't so much my tip, but it was my attitude in how I tipped that God wanted to correct. And so he fixed that inside of me, so I'm going to be mindful of my attitude when I tip from now on. But it just reminded me, not just with money, but to live generously with our time, our talents, our love, and what we give to people, to be generous with that, because we don't know what that will plant in someone's life. Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, verse 23, the Bible reads, Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now, whenever I read in the Bible and I see Jesus is doing something on the Sabbath, you already know that there's something negative to follow. Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. Oh, there are the Pharisees. It's not lawful to heal him. Jesus is going through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, and a bomb is about to explode. As they're going through, picking the grain and eating it, look who shows up, Jesus' number one fans. And the Pharisees said to him, Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? The Pharisees are always looking to pick a bone with Jesus and always looking for every moment to scrutinize what him or his disciples are doing. And here, the disciples and Jesus are going through the grain fields on Sabbath. And to the Pharisees, they say, why are they doing what is not lawful? Back then, they made all these laws and rules, and one of them was you can't harvest on the Sabbath. And so walking through the grain fields was a form of harvesting. And when the disciples were taking the grain and they were doing this with it to try to get the kernel out, that was considered threshing. And so the Pharisees come to Jesus like, look what they're doing. They're doing what's not lawful. They're working on the Sabbath. They're threshing. They're harvesting. Shoot, you might as well just break all the laws right now. Back then, in that time, we also talked about this in Sabbath school. We talked about the Sabbath and how it became burdensome. How the Pharisees back then took something that God had given that was so precious, so beautiful, a gift to us, and they turned it into a burden. They had laws and rules for almost everything you did, drink, or eat. And here they emphasized the mechanical observance of Sabbath rather than the purpose of Sabbath. They focused on what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath, and thus it became a burden to all those who ended up keeping the Sabbath. Jesus, in another spot, said, is it good to do evil or to do good, to save a life or to kill it? And reading on, actually, before we read on, do you ever feel like we've done that with Sabbath for ourselves? Do we feel like we put on more restrictions, or maybe we focus more on the mechanical observance of Sabbath rather than the true purpose of Sabbath? Now, mind you, I'm not trying to get rid of a complete principle that God has laid out for Sabbath keepers in the Bible. But sometimes I think, like the Pharisees, we add so much more to God's principles that isn't necessary. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And as Jesus continues this in Matthew, he says he adds something to that. And he adds what King Saul was told. Did you not know that God desires mercy rather than sacrifice? And the Pharisees were so bent on doing and what we shouldn't and should not do on the Sabbath that they forgot the purpose. They forgot about the mercy and the message of mercy that God had put into the Sabbath. And verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. When I was growing up, I really didn't understand what that verse was saying. To me, I couldn't really comprehend it, even though it's so simple, right? And I guess my mind was trying to operate a little more simpler than what was being said to me. But I never understood it until I got into college, and then I really read it again in college, and it just hit me like, oh, wow, that's so simple. Why didn't I understand that as a kid or in high school, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath? Someone had posted something this week as I was preparing for this sermon that really just marinated within my mind. It tickled my brain. It said, Seventh-day Adventists keep Sabbath. The Jewish people celebrate it. And I thought about that, and while that can be a true statement, I have to remember that we can't just make that a hasty generalization, because I know that there are some Adventists that celebrate it, and there's some Jewish that just keep it and not really celebrate it, but it really, like, marinated within my mind to think about, are we really celebrating Sabbath? Have you ever walked into church one day, and you were all excited to worship, and then you've walked into a house and you walked in like it was ready for a funeral, like no one's really like excited about Sabbath. People are begrudgingly dragging their feet in as they're going to the pew. Hi, happy Sabbath. Not really wanting to be here. And I think it's because growing up, sometimes we were taught that there's so many things, and you've heard me say this before, that we can't do this on Sabbath, that it becomes a burden. That when we come to church, it's like, oh, this is the only thing we can do, is go to church. And I'll be honest, I felt like that a lot of times in high school and growing up. It wasn't something that I really celebrated, but I look at my life, and I look about to my earlier years before middle school, and I saw how my parents tried to help me celebrate Sabbath. Though they didn't say it was celebrating Sabbath, they made Sabbath special. You know, in child guidance, we're told that with the family, everything starts with the family. That we're the parents, and those who are worshipers of God are to make Sabbath the most interesting day of the week. So that when it's come, it's hailed with joy and gladness rather than wearisome and burden. To make it interesting. And I remember growing up, we would go for Sabbath drives. You know, we would go get in my dad's truck, and it was a pickup, and we all be hanging out the side of it, hanging from the railing, you know, because he's a carpenter and he has these racks on it. And it was great. We went for the Sabbath drives. We would go out to this place called Knight's Ferry, which is kind of equivalent to Pioneer's Park, except more cliffs and rocks and a big river. And hey, I like Pioneer's Park. I mean, they have bison. We didn't have bison. We had salmon, so. Ooh, there you go. And you guys got a big, like, Indian in there. We didn't have no Indian. We just had a covered bridge, so. But we would go, and it was so special, and we would go for Sabbath walks to places that we hadn't even been or heard before, like places called God's Bath. I'm like, whoa, God's Bath, what is that? Like, it's some place up in the mountains about a couple hours away, and we would drive up as if we're going to Yosemite, but it was more near the foothills, and we would hike off these trails and go to this place called God's Bath, which were pools after pool after pool. We never made it to God's Bath, but we made it to all the sub-baths. But it was too far, and as a kid, I was like, I'm ready to get in. I remember jumping into one of those baths, and they had a natural slide, rock slide that had been formed, and it was smooth because of the water, and I jumped in, and I stood up, and then all of a sudden, there was a baby rattler snake swimming by me. I stood so still, and I was like, I can't believe that just happened. Thankfully, it was, you know, a baby just minding his own business, going for a dip just like me, and he dipped out. But we would go for these experiences, and one of my favorite things we did on Sabbath was we went to these caves that were in the valley. We would go into these caves, and we would explore them. I would look for bats, look for the bat droppings to see if we could find the bat that was dropping them. We would look for different treasures. One time, I remember we went to that place called Knight's Ferry, and there was this guy, he was a young adult, and I was just a little devil child because he scaled this boulder, and he found this beanie full of coins, pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, everything a little boy was dreaming of. I was like, yes, there's got to be a ton of quarters in there. Forget the rest of it. He threw that thing down. It was rightfully his, and I wrongfully took it, took all the quarters back, and handed him the rest. I was a jerk. My wife still thinks I'm a jerk. She's laughing. But Sabbath was something that I looked forward to because as a kid, we did things that we didn't do the rest of the week. They didn't have calm in place. We always had an adventure. And sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, maybe not always had an adventure. Almost every other Sabbath we were going somewhere, and sometimes we would just stay home, you know, and that's fine. But we always looked forward to Sabbath because we always thought, what are we going to do next this Sabbath after church, after lunch? Maybe even go on a picnic. And the first thing that I remember in studying this is that Sabbath is a day to be celebrated, and we are to celebrate our origins. Celebrate where we have come as human beings. God the Creator. And we're also told in the spirit of prophecy that the family and the Sabbath were made and they were first established within the garden, and they are indissolubly, I forgot the words that came after that, linked, thank you, indissolubly linked. And so when the Sabbath is here, it shouldn't be something that we begrudgingly come to, but it is a day where we have the opportunity to celebrate this day unlike any of the other days. We have the opportunity to fellowship with family. You know, in the garden, when God said he made the Sabbath in chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Let me ask you a question. As God of the universe, do you think God was really tired physically? No. God wasn't taking the Sabbath as a day of rest to snooze. But it showed the importance of how much God cherished community. He took a break from creating. And he took that opportunity to come with Adam and Eve in fellowship. And so on Sabbath, we have the opportunity to come together and fellowship, not just with our church family, but with our families, with our friends, with people who may not know about the Sabbath blessing. And we're told that there is a blessing upon this day that God has hallowed, sanctified, and blessed. A beautiful gift that God has given us that is a day to be celebrated rather than a day that has just become another day. I think if I'm being honest, sometimes I and maybe other people look at Sabbath as, oh, just another day, except this time we're adding church. I'll be honest, ever since college, I mean, since grade school, when I actually did all stuff, I got into high school, then I got into college, and now I'm here. I haven't really made it my own or made it really something special that my parents had done for me that I should have been carrying to this point. I'll be honest with you. And sometimes it looks sometimes like, another day. What can I do? Sometimes I get caught up, if I'm being honest. Sometimes I get caught up in the mindset of, oh, what can I do that is permissible on the Sabbath? Well, I'll get on Facebook. It's not breaking anything, just checking up on people, family, friends. And then you finally watch a video and it leads you completely away from what you were first doing. I know I'm not the only one, but I won't ask for a show of hands. But that's like the quickest way to get detached from the mindset of a special day of having Sabbath as something set aside. Celebrate Sabbath because it celebrates where we've come from as human beings. We come from the God of the universe, the one who decided to become intimate with us, and the one who decided to use something less than rocks to create us. And he places value upon dirt. And here we are. Sabbath, a time where we can come together, celebrate nature, to celebrate being with him and with our families. I think sometimes we forget that the Sabbath was made for us. And not just Seventh-day Adventists, it says Sabbath was made for man, meaning the whole world. The whole world is included in this statement that Jesus himself is saying. He's like, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So we're not supposed to come to church and we're not supposed to come to the Sabbath day of what can I do that I can be saved? Lord, what wilt thou willst me to do? Sometimes I think we come with an attitude like that to church, to Sabbath, is what do I do to get on God's good behavior list? Well, I turned off the TV, I ate a good meal, fellowshiped with people, and I took a long nap. Does that count? Check. That's something I've done before, so I'm not picking on anyone, but if there's conviction, that's the Spirit, not me. Something else that we can make Sabbath a day of celebration. We're told in Exodus that the Sabbath commandment says, remember the Sabbath, and it calls our attention to creation. You've heard me say this before, but I want to bring it back with more emphasis. In Deuteronomy 5, we're told to observe Sabbath and to remember the day in which God brought you out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt. We're not in Egypt, but we are in the bondage of sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was making an end, a way of escape from that bondage. So on Sabbath, it should be a day where we can come and celebrate our salvation. There's a powerful quote on the Sabbath that Mrs. White talks about in chapter 29 of Desire of Ages. Check this out. This is so potent. Page 283, paragraph 4, the beginning of this. As the Jews departed from God and failed to make the righteousness of Christ their own by faith, the Sabbath lost its significance to them. Let me read that one more time. As the Jews departed from God and failed to make the righteousness of Christ their own by faith, the Sabbath lost its significance to them. I thought that was powerful. And it was a challenge to examine my own life to see if I have been slipping away from God myself, to see if maybe I have been relying more upon my self-righteousness than the righteousness of Christ. Because when we come to the Sabbath, we are to celebrate, reminding us that it's not our righteousness that saves us, but it is the righteousness of Christ. Our righteousness is a filthy rags. We can't do anything to save ourselves. We're lost within our own power. And in the Sabbath, in celebrating salvation, we can also celebrate the fact that Christ has made a way to give us victory over sin. The Sabbath isn't about what I can do or what I can't do. The Sabbath and its purpose is about what Christ has done for you. Amen. That's why we celebrate Sabbath. And that's why it is a day to be celebrated. You know, you ever wonder, like, what happens to music as we grow older? Like, in Sabbath school, we're singing all these peppy, awesome songs, and then we get older, and then we're, like, not as peppy as much, you know? Like, we got away with stuff in cradle roll and kindergarten and, you know, all that stuff. Like, this is a day that the Lord has made. Yeah, there we go. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do we celebrate Sabbath like we did in Cradle Roll? When we come to the day, is it really a day that we say, this is the day that the Lord has made? Woo! Yes! I was created by the God of the universe. He made me from the dirt of the ground. God, you gave me salvation through Jesus when you died upon the cross. Do we really come to church celebrating, thanking God for the Sabbath, thanking him for salvation? Sometimes we come, and I think sometimes we get caught up in what we want to do that we forget its significance, and we get bored, and so we want to go do things that aren't Sabbath appropriate. It is a day of rest. I'm not saying we can't rest, because sometimes people during the week need to rest on Sabbath, but it's also a day where we are to do good for people. Now, I'm not saying go evangelize the whole Lincoln community, but if you do, that's awesome. I will support that, and I will come. I will give up Sabbath nap, even Sabbath lunch. Shoot. But there are so many blessings within Sabbath that I think we rob ourselves when we entertain ourselves with maybe sports or going to a game or even overeating on Sabbath, because then we rob ourselves. Now, Ellen White said that, not me. She talked about that, and that one hit me hard as I was studying this. She talks about how, man, don't stone me. That was from the prophet. She talks about how we should be eating more simpler foods because our minds shouldn't be bogged down and clogged during the Sabbath hours, because the Sabbath hours are not our hours, she says. And I'm quoting this. You can look it up in Child Guidance and Adventist Home, all of that. She says the Sabbath hours are not our own, but the Sabbath hours are God's. And sometimes we desecrate the Sabbath with our own selfish amusements. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And I think when we start to look at the Sabbath as a gift that God has given to us, I think our mindset will change, and I think we'll really believe it, and we won't just say it and live man-made for the Sabbath, but I think we will really begin to live and believe the Sabbath was made for man. Because I think for myself, up to this point, I had believed and said the Sabbath was made for man, but I was living like man was made for the Sabbath. And I don't want to live like that anymore. Because it's so much more liberating when we come to Sabbath and we celebrate, woo, it's almost sundown. You know, instead of, oh, it's almost sundown, you get the TV, you get the popcorn, I'll get the drinks, and I'll go to either Netflix or Redbox, okay? No. Instead of getting excited for that sundown, we get excited for the sundown, like, oh, man, it's almost Sabbath. I'm kind of shaking. Oh, man, we finally get to put away the things of this week. And we celebrate also not only the righteousness of Christ and his salvation, but we celebrate maybe even learning to trust Jesus on that day, trusting him that he can take care of whatever our needs were this week or for the coming week. And in keeping the Sabbath, we are showing our trust in him that all those things that we worried about are in his hands. And we don't have to worry for a whole 24 hours. What a gift! When we are a society that is worrying 24/7, whether it's in the media, whether it's in our home, whether it's friends or family, we always find something to worry about. Or with work, we're always worrying. But Sabbath comes and God says, this is a day you can rest, even physically, but mentally from the things of this week. His call is, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, my yoke is easy, and you will find rest. I can't remember if I told you a story about the two ox. Did I tell you about that? No? Okay. Back then, when all they had were ox and plows, and maybe even before plows. To me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, my yoke is easy, and you will find rest. I can't remember if I told you a story about the two ox. Did I tell you about that? No? Okay. Back then, when all they had were ox and plows, and maybe even before plows, in order to train the next ox to take on the yoke, they would take a full-grown ox and they would link it and yoke it with a younger ox. And so that younger ox would observe everything the older ox is doing, and the older ox would be taking majority of the weight of the burden of the yoke. And when we enter into taking Jesus's yoke, it's that same concept that he will take the burden of that yoke while we watch and learn as we walk right next to Jesus. That's how he can say his burden is light and his yoke is easy, because he is taking the yoke for us. And all we need to do is walk with him. So the challenge for us all, for myself, is to come to Sabbath, not to look at it as just another day to go through formalities and traditions, but to come through on this day to really celebrate what God has done for us in creation and salvation. And the Sabbath is, man, the Bible just talks so much about the Sabbath. Jesus saves you, but as an identifying marker of a true worshiper of God, he says it is the Sabbath which is the sign of my people. My people. And we're supposed to give that gift to other people. It wasn't just for the Jews and it's not just for Adventists, but it's for us to take that gift and to celebrate it with other people. You know, when I've been reading a lot of the prophet, amen? Sometimes I think we just disregard her, but, you know, if we were in the Word as much as we were, we wouldn't need her. Amen. Thank you. We shouldn't be ashamed of even inviting people to stay for worship when it's close to Sabbath, because he says when we do that, they won't miss out on the blessing that you can give them in including them for family worship. Now, all of these things, all of it, it really all starts within the home. It really does. Because how we do things in the home will be contagious and leak out into our corporate home here at church. And I think that's why the devil is so apt and so determined to destroy the family. Because if he can destroy the family, he can destroy even possibly church life. Guard our families. Make Sabbath something that is interesting and enjoyable for our families. Because when they learn how much fun and enjoyable Sabbath can really be, rather than the restrictions, I think we would have a transformation beyond what we could ever possibly imagine. Celebrate Sabbath. Celebrate today, whether it's fellowshipping with a family over a meal or going out into nature, celebrate, because that is what Jesus desires. We just heard Jesus was a party goer last weekend. Well, Sabbath is just like a big celebratory party that we get every week, and I pray that the same thing that happened to me does not happen to you, that sometimes even I can take the Sabbath for granted and not really cherish and celebrate what we have, because before we know it, there's going to be a time where it's going to be taken away, where we won't have this anymore. We won't have open congregations. We're going to be worshiping in the hidden recesses of our homes or our basements or even caves. That's why I like the caves. I think Jesus was prepping me for the end times. Let's pray. Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for Sabbath. Lord, it's such a beautiful gift that I think is so greatly underappreciated. And Lord, I know that's not for everyone, but I think the majority of people in the world have missed the blessing. And I think, Lord, we have become complacent. And Jesus, I pray that you would help us to come out of our complacency and help us not to be lukewarm anymore. Lord, if there's something that you can do to stir within us, then do it. We give you permission because, Lord, we don't want to be complacent. We don't want to be lukewarm in sharing this message. The beautiful gift of the Sabbath that reminds us of so many things, of where we're from and where we're going and how you have saved us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.